بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 32nd session reading from Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen في الشرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين. The explanation of 50 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawwi and Al-Imam ibn Rajab رحمهم الله, with the commentary of our Shaykh Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhullah. May Allah protect and preserve him. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be looking at hadith number 28 from the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. Before we do so, we want to take a quick look, review some of the issues that we discussed in the previous session from questionnaire study guide for lecture number 31. The first question being, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 27. The main topic or subject of hadith number 27. Now, Abdul Wali.
The comprehensiveness of al-Badr and al-Taqwa and the uneasiness of the believer's heart when it comes to sin or...
The comprehensiveness of al-Bir and Taqwa and the uneasiness of the believer's heart when it comes to?
Sin.
Sin. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay, these are the main two topics, Yani. Becoming familiar, knowing about al-birr and al-ithm, righteousness and sin. The second question, who is the rawi, narrator of the first hadith, and the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? The first hadith that Imam Nawawi mentions here under hadith number 27. Anybody remember the rawi? Fadl.
Al-Nawas ibn Sam'an.
النواس والشذ عند واو النواس ابن سمعان رضي الله عنه and the collection that this hadith is found in
Muslim.
Imam Muslim. Second hadith. Anybody remember the second hadith that he added? Naam.
Wabisa.
Ma'bad. Ma'bad رضي الله عنه. And this hadith is collected by
At-Tirmidhi,
and At-Tirmidhi, not At-Tirmidhi, now. In the two musnads of Al-Imam Ahmed, the musnad of Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, and the musnad of Al-Imam Ad-Darimi, Al-Imam Ad-Darimi, rahimahullah, now. Question number 4. Al-Birr is a kalima jami'ah, comprehensive word, comprising two different types of affairs. Explain. Two different types of affairs. He said this word, naam, fadl.
Internal affairs.
Okay, internal affairs, al-umur, al-batina,
and external affairs.
And external affairs, al-zahira, al-umur, al-zahira. Yani the internal affairs that are connected
to the heart,
and the external affairs that are connected to the limbs of the body and the tongue. Naam. And the Shaykh also mentioned that the ayat in Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 2nd ayat, لَيْسَ الْبِرُّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ Qibla al-Mashriqi wal-Maghribi. He said this ayat is an indication of the comprehensiveness of the word al-birr, because in the beginning of the ayat, Allah talks about the internal matters, iman in Allah, and iman in the last day, and the angels, and the book, and the messengers, and in the end of the ayat, he talks about salat and zakat, and the external affairs. Question number 5, explain the meaning of each of the following words, al-birr and at-taqwa, when they are mentioned together. Yani, when they are mentioned together, as in the ayat of the Quran, وَتَعَوْنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. What is the meaning of each of these words when they are mentioned together? Tafadhu.
Heart and soul is at rest.
Al-birr wa-taqwa. When they are mentioned together, these words have the similar meaning. But when they are mentioned together, each takes its own meaning. Now.
Al-birr is doing acts of obedience.
Now, al-birr, when they are mentioned together, refers to doing acts of obedience, ta'at. And at-taqwa refers to
abandoning
the acts of disobedience, the manhiyat. Now, when they are mentioned together, then each has its own specific meaning, and when they are mentioned separately, then each of them comprise yani both meanings. Comprise both meanings. Now, and this is similar, the Shaykh said, to words like, anybody remember, he gave some examples. This is similar to words like, that have yani separate meanings when they are mentioned together, but they have the same meaning when they are mentioned separately.
Islam and Iman.
Al-Islam and Al-Iman, When they mention together, Islam refers to the external affairs and Iman refers to the internal affairs. And when they mention separately, they are inclusive of both meanings. And he also said, like al-miskeen and al-faqir. Anyway, the next question, question number 6, discuss two possible meanings of husnul khuluq. Yani, of husnul khuluq. Two possible meanings of husnul khuluq in this hadith as explained by the author. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ said, al-bir husnul khuluq. And the Shaykh said that there are two possible meanings for this expression, husnul khuluq. One of them, na'am, fadhil.
It could mean noble character because of its importance.
Okay, it can mean noble character. Yani, generally, husnul khuluq refers to noble character. Yani, being truthful, honest, generous, things like this. And it's mentioned here as a definition of al-bir because of its great importance. Yani, the importance of husnul khuluq in Islam. The other possible meaning the Shaykh said is the meaning of, and it will be inclusive. Generally inclusive of everything that is good, and this is indicated in the hadith where Aisha radiallahu anha mentions the character of the Prophet. She said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, meaning inclusive of everything that is good. The seventh question, the author says, some sin is that which is وَاضِحًا جَلِيًّا, yani crystal clear, and some sin is not clear, yani that which troubles the soul, that which a person dislikes that people came to know about it, and so on. Yani that's not crystal clear, but the believer, their heart is not at rest, their soul is not at rest with those things, even if they don't know, they don't have any technical evidence or proof that it's a sin, their heart is not at rest with it, and that's an indication that it is sinful. Question number 9, who is the Prophet ﷺ addressing and who is he not addressing with the words, yani, istafti qalbak? Who is he addressing with these words, consult, yani, seek the fatwa from your heart? Who is he addressing? Na'am. Adil.
MashaAllah. A righteous person, a person who has good character.
A righteous person. He's addressing the people of Iman, the people of Taqwa, the people who have fear of Allah. And he's not addressing. He's not addressing the people of desires, the people of sin and corruption, any of those people who fall into that which is clearly haram. So how much more so then that which is not clearly haram? And all the more so they're going to engage in that. Now, in the last question, I mentioned 4 of the 5 fawaid benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. 4 of the 5 benefits that the author has derived from this hadith. Now, 1.
The greatness of good character.
The greatness, the merit, the excellence of husnul khuluq. Naam. Another one.
These two words are
comprehensive. Al-bir and al-ithm are comprehensive words that include a lot of things. Naam. Also, the Shaykh also mentioned from this hadith,
the Muslim stays away from that which is not clear.
The Muslim, yani, only engages in that which, yani, it is clearly permissible, and he avoids that which is not clear. Naam. And another benefit that he mentioned?
The believer who fears Allah does not go near anything that makes his heart waver, even if there is a legal ruling for it.
Naam. The believer who has fear of Allah doesn't go near those things that his heart is not at rest, that his soul is not at rest with, even if somebody gives him a fatwa saying that it's not sinful, that it's lawful, that it's permissible, he doesn't go near those things. And the, you know,
further. The
hirs of the Sahaba, their eagerness, their desire to do, yani, to know about the halal and haram, and to know about that which is righteousness and that which is sin. So these are some of the things that we discussed last week. Tonight, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at hadith number 28. And I'm going to read the hadith tonight from the Mutun of Talib al-Ilm. It's almost exactly the same as the way it came in the book. And some of the books, some of the printings of the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, sometimes the words are slightly different. There's just 2 small differences here. I want to read it from here just for the clarity of what, yani, the way he has produced it. So this hadith is hadith, al-hadithu al-thaminu wal-ishruna, the 28th hadith from the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, an Abi Najihin. Yani, on the authority of Abu Najih, Al-Irbad ibn Sariyata, radiallahu anhu. Yani, the narrator of the hadith is Abu Najih, العرباد ابن سارية رضي الله عنه قال he said وعذنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم موعظة. In the narration as it came in the book from Sheikh Abdul Muhsin and in some of the narrations of the 40 hadith موعظة بليغة يعني with the word بليغة وجلت منها القلوب وظرفت منها العيون يعني that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم addressed us يعني وعذنا he addressed us with a reminder that contained encouragement and discouragement. Encouragement to do things that are good. Yani encouraging someone to seek the reward of Allah. And discouraging evil, discouraging people from doing those things that would earn the punishment of Allah. وَعَذَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَوْعِذَةً بَلِيغَةً Yani with a reminder that in the narration that we have here, yani بَلِيغَةً means that which As Al-Imam Ibn Daqiq Al-Ayyid said, he said, that which reached us, it reached us and it affected our hearts. It reached us, that which reaches the person, yani the speech reaches that person, and it has an impact on their heart. Mawa'idha baligha. Wajilat minha al-qulubu wa zarafat minha al-uyun. Yani, it caused our hearts to have fear. And it caused our eyes to shed tears. That's the effect that it had upon the companions of the Prophet ﷺ when they heard the Prophet ﷺ's speech to them. فَقُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ كَأَنَّهَا مَوْعِبَةُ مُوَدِّعٍ فَأَوْصِنَا They said, O Messenger of Allah, it is as though, yani the speech that we just heard from you, it is as though it is the speech that a person gives when they are bidding farewell. Yani when a person is going away on a journey or they think that they are about to die and they want to leave some kind of advice to the people who they're leaving behind, he said it is like this kind of speech, as though you are bidding farewell. Yani perhaps they felt like the way the Prophet ﷺ addressed them, they felt like perhaps he was bidding farewell, that he was going to die. So they said to him, أَوْصِنَا So give us some, yani wasiya, give us an advice. If it is that you are leaving, you are departing, then advise us. And he advises with the advice that one gives to those who they are leaving behind when they're bidding farewell. Important advice. The most important things that a person would say to those whom they love, to their children, to their family, or whoever it is that they are leaving behind. They said, O Sina, give us an advice. The Prophet ﷺ advised them with several things. In these brief words, the Prophet ﷺ advised them with the most important things that he could say to those he was leaving behind. He said, أُوصِيكُمْ بِالتَّقْوَ اللَّهِ Yani the first thing he mentioned to them is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُوصِيكُمْ بِالتَّقْوَ اللَّهِ I advise you to observe taqwa of Allah. Yani to fulfill His commands and avoid His prohibitions. Seeking His reward and fearing His punishment. وَالسَّمَعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ And the second thing that he mentions is from the rights of the rulers, the leaders of the Muslims. He mentioned first the most important thing, that is the right of Allah. And then he mentioned the right of the rulers of the Muslims, those who are in charge of the affairs of the Muslims. وَالسَّمَعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ And I advise you with hearing and obeying. Yani listen to the rulers what they say and obey their commands and their prohibitions. وَإِن تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ Yani hear and obey the ruler even if an abd, even if a slave was placed in authority over you. Even if a slave was made the ruler over you, was in charge of you. That's how important it is to hear and obey the ruler. Even if that ruler was a slave, you must hear and obey. And then he said, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِيشْ مِنْكُمْ بَعَدِي This word ba'di is not in our book, but it's in some of the narrations of this hadith. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِيشْ مِنْكُمْ بَعَدِي فَسَيَرَى اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا So, indeed, whoever from amongst you will live after me, yani those who are going to live for some time after me, then indeed, they are going to see a lot of اختلاف, much difference, disputing amongst the people, amongst the Muslims. And this is an indication that the Prophet ﷺ knew, even though he didn't mention any details, as Al-Imam Ibn Daqiq Al-Ayyid said, he knew about things that were going to happen in the future, that Allah had informed him, that Allah decreed to take place in the future, that people didn't know about. And he mentioned it here in general, اختلاف and كثيرة. But to some of his companions, like Hudhayfa and Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنهما, he mentioned some of the details of the things that were going to occur after his death. And they knew about those things, as the Prophet ﷺ informed them. He said, whoever from amongst you is going to live after me, then he will see much differing, differences, disputing. Therefore, this being the case, perhaps the likely question that would come after that from his companions is, so if we live in that time and we see this, اختلاف and كثيرة, what should we do? How shall we save ourselves? How can we escape from it? Before they could ask, the Prophet explained to them, what is the way to escape from these difficult times? He said, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّتِي الْخُلَفَى الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَحْدِيِينَ. So it is incumbent upon you, it is obligatory upon you to hold fast to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa. عَدُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. How do you adhere to it? He said, يعني adhere to it, stick to it, as one would bite on something with their molar teeth. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْتَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. And I warn you, أُحَذِّرُكُمْ, I warn you from the newly invented matters. فَإِنَّ كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٌ. For every innovation is misguidance. رَوَهُ أَبُو دَاوُدُ وَالتِّرْمِذِي وَقَالَ حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ صَحِيحٌ. This hadith is reported by Al-Imam Abu Dawood and Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi rahimahumullah. And Imam Al-Tirmidhi said, حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ صَحِيحٌ, that it is a Hasan Sahih hadith. This hadith is a tremendous hadith. And the Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, has discussed it in more detail than he generally does the hadith that we have seen previously. Because of that, I'm going to try to go through it quickly so that we can complete his discussion this evening in the limited time that we have. The first thing is that the Shaykh, he divides the explanation of this hadith into 8 points. The 8th point being the benefits that are derived from this hadith. And the points before that, he's talking about the various statements that came in this hadith from the advice of the Prophet ﷺ and the introduction to those advices. He says, the saying of Al-Irbad رضي الله عنه, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم وعظنا موعظة بليغة, that the Prophet ﷺ addressed us, reminded us with speech that contained an encouragement to do that which is good and discouragement from doing that which is evil. That was بليغة. يعني it reached us and it affected, impacted our hearts. To the extent, he said, that our hearts were in fear and our eyes shed tears. That's the words that came from the hadith. And the Shaykh explains, الْمَوْعِذَ مَا كَانَ مِنَ الْكَلَامِ فِي تَرْغِيبُ وَتَرْحِيبُ يُؤَثِّرُ عَلَى النُّفُوسِ وَيَبْلُغُ الْقُلُوبِ. That the maw'idha is some speech that contains targhib wa tarhib. Targhib, yani that which makes a person to be desirous of doing good for the reward of Allah. And that which makes a person have fear of doing that which is evil for fear of the punishment of Allah. At-targhib wa tarhib. And these two things are throughout the Quran, where Allah encourages people to do good and He discourages people from evil. He offers His reward for doing good and He threatens with His punishment for doing evil. This speech, he said, it affected the souls and it reached the hearts and it caused fear to be, yani in the hearts of the people, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The narrator of the hadith, Al-Irbad radiallahu anhu, has described this maw'idha, yani this speech of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with three characteristics. Al-balaga, wajn al-qalb, and dhar'u al-uyun. That it was, yani a speech that was effective, it had an impact. And it was eloquent and it impacted the people who heard it. It affected, it caused fear to be in their hearts and it caused their eyes to shed tears. Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, in his explanation of the 50 hadith, Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikam, he says in the second volume, 111th page, he describes that, he talks about al-balagha. He said, al-balagha fil maw'idha mustahsana. That a person using this type of speech, al-balaga, when they're given a maw'idha, a reminder to the people to encourage them to do good or discourage them from doing evil, he said this is something that is commendable. It should be done. That a person should speak to people in this kind of way, and that is because لِأَنَّا أَقْرَبُ إِلَىٰ قَبُولِ الْقُلُوبِ وَاسْتِجْلَابِهَا because this type of speech, he said, it is more likely, it is nearer to being accepted by the hearts and attracting the hearts to the speech that is being conveyed to those people. Then he defines al-balagha. He said, it is to make the people to understand the intended meanings, to speak to people in a way that they understand what is intended by that speech, and to convey to the hearts of those who are listening, yani the meanings that are intended, in the best form, words that point to or indicate those meanings, and in the most eloquent fashion, and in the most pleasant manner that will be pleasant to the ears and yani have an impact on the hearts. The Shaykh then says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the believers with having fear in their hearts and their eyes shedding tears at the time of the remembrance of Allah. And he mentions first the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Anfal, the 8th surah, second ayah, the saying of Allah concerning the believers, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ Yani indeed, the believers, and only the believers, are those who when Allah is mentioned, their hearts have fear. Their hearts experience fear. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ And when the ayat of Allah are recited to them, it increases them in iman, and they put their trust in Allah, in their Rabb, Allah alone. This ayah mentions the fear that's in the hearts of the believers at the time when the Allah is mentioned. Then he mentions from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 83rd ayah, the saying of Allah, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ To the end of the ayah, that when they, the believers, when they hear what has been sent down, what has been revealed to the messenger, you see their eyes overflowing with tears. Yani from that which they knew, from what they were hearing, that it is al-haq. مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ The second point that the Shaykh mentions is related to the Prophet ﷺ, the speech that he gave and his companions saying it was like it was a farewell speech. It was as though it was a farewell speech. Yani, they said, yani after, yani the Prophet ﷺ had spoken to them, they said, Ya Rasulullah, كَأَنَّهَا مَوَعِذَةُ مُوَدِّئٍ فَأَوْسِنَا It is as though the speech that you have just addressed us with is the speech of a person who's bidding farewell, so therefore advise us. Yani the Shaykh says that this speech that the Prophet ﷺ addressed them with, it resembled the maw'idha of the person who's bidding farewell. Yani the speech of a person who is leaving, who is departing. And they are saying to those who they leave behind that which is most important to leave with them. He said, for this reason, the noble companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and they were the most eager and the most desirous of seeking everything that was good. He said, for this reason, they requested from the Prophet ﷺ wasiyya jamia, a comprehensive speech that the Prophet ﷺ would commission them with, that he would yani, entrust them with some instructions, some guidance, يَتَمَسَّكُونَ بِهَا that they would hold, adhere to. وَيُعَوِّلُونَ عَلَيْهَا and they would depend upon it after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Advise us with something that we're going to hold tight to, that we're going to adhere to, strictly adhere to, and we're going to depend upon it in the remainder of our lives. And that is because the wasiyah at the time of departure, when a person is bidding farewell, has a great impact on the soul of the human being. And perhaps there was something in this speech of the Prophet ﷺ that indicated to them that he was bidding farewell, and for this reason they asked him for this advice. The third point that the Shaykh mentions is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, أُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ I advise you to observe taqwa of Allah. Taqwa Allah Azza wa Jalla and يَجْعَلَ المرء بينه وبين غضب الله وقاية تقيه منه. يعني the Shaykh is defining what is the meaning of taqwa Allah. It is that a person places between himself and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something that will shield them, that will protect them from Allah's anger. That they want to protect themselves from the anger of Allah, so they place something there as a protection, as a shield, to protect them from the anger of Allah, from the punishment of Allah. وَذَلِكَ بِفِعْلَ الطَّاعَاتِ وَاجْتِنَابَ الْمَعَاسِ وَالتَّصْدِيقَ الْأَخْبَارِ. And how do you place something as a shield between yourself and the anger of Allah? It is by doing those things that He has commanded. And by avoiding those things, yani that He has prohibited, the sins, yani doing acts of ta'at, and avoiding the ma'asi, and believing in that which He has informed us of. Yani, the way that a person protects themselves from the anger of Allah is doing those things that are pleasing to Allah. Doing acts of obedience and avoiding acts of disobedience, and believing in, accepting and believing in the truthfulness of what Allah has informed us about. Here the Shaykh mentions three more things related to this wasiyah. The wasiyah of observing taqwa of Allah. He says that this is the wasiyah of Allah Himself in the Quran to the first and the last of the people, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah 131st ayah. وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Allah is saying indeed that we have advised you or given you advice, those who were given the book from before you, and you as well, with observing taqwa of Allah. Secondly, he says that this taqwa of Allah is the sabab, yani sababu kulli khayrin wal falah fi dunya wal akhirah. Yani it is the cause, it is the means to every good thing, to every means of success in this world and in the next life. Yani the means to achieving it is the taqwa of Allah. And then finally he says, وَيَأْتِي الْأَمْرُ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ وَلَا سِيَمَ الْآيَاتِ الْمَبْدُوعَةِ بِيَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَذَلِكَ فِي وَصَايَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِأَصْحَابِهِ. Yani that this advice or the command to observe taqwa of Allah came in many ayats in the Quran, especially those ayats that begin with the address to the believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe. And likewise, in the same way, came in the advices of the Messenger of Allah to his companions. The fourth point. The Shaykh says the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after usikum bittaqwa Allah, he said was sam'i wa ta'ati wa anta amara alaykum 'abdun, that I also advise you with hearing and obedience, yani to the rulers, to the leaders of the Muslims, even if an 'abd, a slave, was placed in charge of you. He said wa hiya wasiyatun bisam wa ta'a li wulat al-umur في غير معصية الله ولو كان يعني الأمير عبدا. يعني this is an advice from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that the people should listen to their rulers and that they should obey those who have charge of the affairs of the Muslims in other than disobedience to Allah. يعني obey the rulers in anything except disobedience to Allah, even if that ruler was a slave. يعني the importance of hearing and obeying the rulers is to the extent that even if the ruler was a person that you would look down upon and despise and wouldn't think much of, even if that person was a slave and they were the ruler, then you must hear and obey them. The Shaykh says, here he mentions the fact that the scholars of Islam are in agreement that a slave cannot be the ruler of the Muslims, that a slave cannot be the Khalifa. But there are different ways that this, yani, command of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to hear and obey the ruler even if he was a slave, that it may be understood. There are many ways the scholars have explained that statement. The Shaykh mentions four of them here. He says, it is agreed upon by ijma' of the scholars that the abd laysa ahlan li khilafa, that a slave is not fit, is not suitable for the khilafa, to be the khalifa of the Muslims. So this which came in this hadith and other hadith which have the same meaning has to be understood, could be understood in a number of ways. One of the ways it could be understood is al-mubalagha fi luzum as-sam wa ta'a lil-abd idha kana khalifa. Yani that this is a manner of mubalagha, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is overemphasizing the importance of hearing and obeying the ruler. He's overemphasizing it by saying what? Even if the khalifa was a slave, then how much more so if he's not a slave? If he's a person that's equal to you or even have a higher standing than you have. The second interpretation, and then the Shaykh says, And the first interpretation says, even though a slave being the Khalifa is not going to happen. The second way he said it could be understood is that the Khalifa of the Muslim appoints, give authority to a slave over a town or a city or a group of people. So that person has been placed in charge of them, and that person could actually be a slave that is appointed by the Khalifa. The third possible way it could be understood, he said, أو أنه كان عبدا أو أنه كان عند التولية حرا وأطلق عليه عبد باعتبار ما كان. يعني that at the time when he was made the Khalifa, he was free, but he had previously been a slave, and the mention of a slave here is in consideration of the fact that previously he had been a slave, even though now, at the time when he's appointed to be in charge of the Muslims, he's free. And the fourth way that the Shaykh mentions it could be understood is that a slave actually overcomes the people by force and takes the authority and rulership in the land by force. And then the affairs settled down and safety and security was established because the people knew that to dispute or to contest or to fight with that slave who took the authority over them, that this would be worse, more evil than leaving him as the Khalifa. And in other words, disputing with the person who has taken charge, who is in control, disputing and fighting with them, the fitna of that and the harm that it would bring, the bloodshed, is worse than the fact that the person who is not entitled to be a Khalifa is the Khalifa. Yani that's a evil, but this is even worse. The fifth point the Shaykh talks about, the ikhtilaf kathiran. He says, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِيشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَى اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever of you lives. And most of the scholars explain it means live long, as it came in the narration that I mentioned earlier, after me, yani after the death of the Prophet. Whoever of you would live long, then he would see اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. He would see a lot of differing and disputing, differences and splitting and separating amongst the people. He said, هذا من دلائل نبوته. يعني this statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is an indication, is an evidence that he is truly a Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in that he has informed about أمر مستقبل, يعني something of the future, and then وقع طبقا لما أخبر به صلى الله عليه وسلم, and then it happened just as he told them it would happen. يعني exactly what he told them would happen, it happened the way he told them would happen, and this is a proof, an indication of his prophethood. The Shaykh says, indeed, those who lived a long life from amongst the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they reached that time in which there was a lot of disputing and differing, and where the people were مُخَالِفَةً لِمَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَأَصْحَابُ. Yani that they were taking positions and doing things that was contradictory, that was contrary to what the Prophet ﷺ was upon and what his companions were upon. And in terms of worship, in terms of aqeedah, and so on. Yani they were taking a path, traveling upon a way that was contrary to the way of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And that, the Shaykh says, was with the appearance of some of the groups of deviation, firq ad-dalal, like the Qadariya and the Khawarij and other than them. Yani those groups who took a path that was contrary to what the Prophet ﷺ had established. The sixth point, the Shaykh says, the statement, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّتِي الْخُلَفَ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَحْدِيِينَ أَدُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. Yani it is incumbent upon you to follow, to adhere to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided Khalifas, and to bite upon it with your molar teeth. Yani to hold fast to this sunnah, to stick to it, yani with intensity. He said, so when the Prophet ﷺ had informed them that there was going to be tafarruq, and it would be kathira, yani a lot of tafarruq, that the people would be divided, that they would be splitting into groups, they would be differing. He said, once the Prophet ﷺ informed them that this would happen, and that there would be plenty of it, أَرَشَدَ إِلَى الطَّرِيقِ السَّلَامُ وَالنَّجَاةِ. Then he also guided them to the path that they should take to be saved from, and to achieve salvation from that time in which the people would be differing and splitting. The Prophet ﷺ told them that this would occur, and then he guided them to the path of safety and salvation from those troubled times. What is that path? وَذَلِكَ بِالتَّمَسُّكِ بِسُنَّتِهِ وَسُنَّتِ خُلَفَائِهِ الرَّاشِدِينَ. Yani it is by holding fast to his sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the sunnah of his rightly guided khalifas. Yani what is the path of salvation, of safety and security from those times in which they would be differing and they would be splitting and people being divided? The way to be safe from that is that a person holds fast to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sunnah of his rightly guided khalifas. Then the Shaykh says his rightly guided khalifas, they are Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described their khilafah, yani the period of time of their rulership. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described it as khilafatu nubuwa, that it would be the khilafah, the rulership that would be upon the path or the model of prophethood. It would be a rulership that would be like, yani they would follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is as it came in the hadith of Safina radiallahu anhu. He said khilafatu an-nubuwa 30 sana thumma yu'ti Allahu al-mulka aw mulkahu man yasha. Yani that the khilafah of nubuwa, the khilafah that would be on the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it would be for 30 years. And then after that Allah would give the sovereignty or give his sovereignty to whomever he willed. This hadith is reported by Abu Dawud and others, and it is a authentic hadith. Al-Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah mentions it in Silsila Hadith al-Sahiha, hadith number 460. And there he conveys the 9 different scholars who declared this hadith to be sahih. And here we can note that this 30 years of Khilafah and Nubuwa, it includes the time of Abu Bakr, which was, his Khilafah was approximately 2 years and 3 months. And the Khilafah of Umar, which was approximately 10 years or 10 and a half years. And the Khilafah of Uthman, which was 12 years and 6 months. And the Khilafah of Ali, which was 4 years and 9 months. And it also includes the 6 months of the Khilafah of the son of Ali radiallahu anhu, and that makes a total of 30 years, as some of the scholars have mentioned. Al-Imam al-Tahawi mentions it in Aqidah al-Tahawi in some detail. So here, yani the Shaykh, he quotes here now concerning Sunnah. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is incumbent upon you to follow my Sunnah and the Sunnah of the rightly guided Khalifas. Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, in his explanation of the 50 hadith in Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikam, he says in the second volume, 120th page, وَالسُنَّةُ هِيَ الطَّرِيقَ الْمَسْلُوكَ. Yani, so that people might not imagine that what is intended by sunnah here is perhaps, yani, the other meanings of sunnah, like sunnah means what? The opposite of bid'ah. Or sunnah means the opposite of that which is farad or wajib. And there are different meanings of sunnah according to different scholars. Different scholars have, yani, interpreted, yani, mustalah, yani, in the technical terminology, sunnah to have different meanings. Here, the Shaykh is quoting Ibn Rajab, saying that what is meant by here, to adhere to my sunnah, is the broader meaning of a sunnah. Yani, at-tariqa al-masluka, the path that is traveled upon. Yani, the way, the whole way of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَيَشْمَلُ ذَلِكَ التَّمَسُّقْ بِمَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ هُوَ وَخُلَفَاؤُهُ الرَّاشِدُونَ مِنَ الْإِعْتِقَادَاتِ وَالْعَمَالِ وَالْأَقْوَالِ. Yani what is intended by sunnah here? It is the way, the path that is traveled upon, that includes adhering to what the Prophet was upon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his rightly guided Khalifa was upon, including the اعتقادات, what we believe in, and the amal, our actions or worship, and al-aqwal, the speech that the people may engage in. This is the sunnah, he said, that is intended in this hadith, وَهِيَ السُنَّةَ الْكَامِلَةِ. Yani the whole of the sunnah, the whole of the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ السَّلَفْ قَدِيمًا لَا يُطْلِقُونَ اسم السُنَّةِ إِلَّا عَلَى مَا يَشْمَلْ ذَلِكَ كُلَّ. Yani the scholars of the past, the salaf, the early scholars of the past, they didn't apply the word sunnah except with this meaning, that it includes all of this. Not just speech and actions, but also the i'tiqadat, what Muslims believe, what the Prophet ﷺ believed, and what the rightly guided Khalifas were upon. They didn't apply the word sunnah except with this meaning, this all-inclusive meaning. He said, وَرُوِيَ مَعْنَ ذَلِكَ. And this has been narrated from a number of scholars from the early generation of Muslims, including Al-Hasan Al-Basri Al-Awza'i, Al-Fudayl Ibn Iyad, رحمهم الله, may Allah have mercy upon all of them. And many of the scholars, he said, كَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ الْمُتَأَخِّرِينَ يخص اسم السنة بما يتعلق بالاعتقادات. Many of the later scholars made exclusively the meaning of sunnah to apply to particularly what we believe. To apply to what we believe. And from amongst them is يعني the famous book of Imam Ahmad, Usul al-Sunnah. And the book, the famous book of the two Imams, يعني Abu Zura'a and Abu Hatim al-Razi. يعني that their book, Aslu al-Sunnah. And books like this, Shar' al-Sunnah by Imam Barbahari. These are books that deal with al-i'tiqadat, يعني the aqidah. So this is an example, these are examples of how the scholars of the early generation Muslims, يعني the word sunnah was not exclusively used just for يعني a person having a beard or making their garment above their ankles. No, but the sunnah means يعني the whole way of the Prophet, and especially, more specifically, يعني what we believe. And he said that is because the i'tiqadat لِأَنَّهَا أَصْلُ الدِّينِ والمخالف فيها على قطر عظيم. Because these i'tiqadat, what we believe in, this is the foundation, this is the root, the essence, the core of the deen, and whoever opposes in that is in great danger. Finally, the Shaykh says concerning this particular matter that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged the people with التمسك بسنته وسنتي خلفائه الراشدين when he said فعليكم. When he said فعليكم, the Prophet encouraged people to adhere to his sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas. And this word عليكم هي اسم فعل أمر, يعني it is a noun that has the effect or the meaning of a verb, and it is in the command form. يعني عليكم, the meaning of it is like you are being commanded, يعني it is incumbent upon you. ثم أرشد إلى شدة التمسك بها بقوله عضوا عليها بالنواجذ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam further guided the people not just to adhere to it, but يعني forcefully adhere to it, strictly, with intensity adhere to it, when he said bite upon it with your molar teeth, that is so that the sunnah will not escape to you, hold to it tightly, tightly, tightly. He said النواجذ, the meaning of that is الأدراس, يعني the درس, the teeth that are in the back of the mouth, the molar teeth. And this, he said, what is intended by this is مبالغة في شدة التمسك بها. يعني what is intended is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is overemphasizing the great importance of يعني forcefully adhering to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas. Alhamdulillah. The seventh point, and this is the last point of the explanation of this hadith, and it's quite a lengthy point. And the last point, of course, is the benefits from the hadith. Seventh point is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And two more advices, one more advice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave after he said, observe taqwa of Allah and hear and obey the rulers. And he said, adhere to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas. And finally he said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْتَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And in the narration of Abu Dawud it has, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْتَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And in some of the narrations, وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. يعني, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِيَّاكُمْ, يعني I warn you, أُحَذِّرُكُمْ, I warn you against محتثات الأمور, يعني the newly invented matters. For indeed, every innovation is ضلالة, is misguidance. Every كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And this is from Al-Alfad al-Umum, yani words in Arabic that are general, all-inclusive, that don't have exceptions from them. In the narration of Abu Dawud he has, yani I warn you from newly invented matters, for every newly invented matter is an innovation, and every innovation is misguidance. He said, muhtathatul umur, yani what is meant by newly invented matters? Ma uhtitha wabtudia fid din mimma lam yakun lahu asl fi. Yani that which is has been yani brought about newly, or that which has been innovated into the deen from that which doesn't have any asl, it doesn't have any foundation, any root, yani in the deen itself. Something that people made up newly that doesn't have any basis in the deen. He said, وَهُوَ يَرْجِعُ إِلَى الْإِخْتِلَافُ وَتَفَرُّقَ الْمَذْمُومَ الَّذِي ذَكَرَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِقَوْلِهِ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِيشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَى إِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. He said that these muhtathat, these newly invented matters, these innovations, go back to the differences, the ikhtilaf, and the tafarruq, and the splitting that is blameworthy, which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned when he said, indeed, whoever from amongst you lives, you will see a lot of differing and disputing. And the Prophet ﷺ has described every innovation, كل بدعة بأنها ضلال. That the Prophet himself, ﷺ, he is the one who said that every single innovation is misguidance. فلا يكون شيء من البدع حسنا. So there's nothing from that which has been innovated that could be good. Nothing. With no exception. And this is because of the generality of the meaning. لعموم قوله وكل بدعة ضلالة. This means this is general and it's all inclusive and there's no exception from it. And then he mentions some of the sayings that support this understanding of this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said it has been narrated by Muhammad ibn Nasr in his book As-Sunnah with an isnad that is sahih from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma that he said, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَإِن رَوَاهَا وَإِن رَآهَا النَّاسُ حَسَنًا. يعني كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَإِن رَآهَا. يعني even if the people consider it, think or believe that it is good. That every innovation is misguidance, even though there may be people who consider it to be good. That's what Abdullah ibn Umar said. No matter if the people think it's good in their mind, however their logic or whatever they came up with, bottom line is, every innovation is misguidance. Al-Imam Ash-Shartibi, rahimahullah, he mentions in his book Al-Ittisam from Ibn Majusun, he said, قَالَ سَمِعْتُ مَالِكًا يَقُولُ مَنْ ابْتَدَعَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ بِدْعَةً يَرَاهَا حَسَنًا فَقَدْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا خَانَ الرِّسَالَةِ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. To the end of the ayah, فَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ دِينًا فَلَا يَكُنْ الْيَوْمَ دِينًا. That he says, I heard Malik, يعني Imam Malik رحمه الله, saying, whoever innovates into Islam something, a bid'ah, and he considers it to be good, whoever innovates something, and he, in his mind he considers it to be good, فَقَدْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ خَالَ الرِّسَالَةِ خَانَ الرِّسَالَةِ. Then this person is claiming that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he failed to fulfill the trust of delivering the message. And whoever says that there's some innovation that they have come with or somebody has come with and that is good, is equal to them saying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was commissioned to deliver the deen in its totality, has left out something and now we brought it. So he has not fulfilled the trust of delivering that which he has sent with, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he has sent him with the whole of the deen. There's nothing that can be added to it. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Today I have completed for you your deen. Therefore, anything that wasn't deen at that time when this ayah was revealed in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it could not be part of this deen today. Then he mentions from Abu Uthman and Naysaburi, rahimahullah, من أمر السنة على نفسه قولا وفعلا نطق بالحكمة ومن أمر الهوى على نفسه قولا وفعلا نطق بالبدعة. يعني that whoever makes the sunnah as an authority, as the emir, the one who has authority over himself in terms of his speech and his actions, the sunnah dictates what he should do, this person has articulated with hikmah, yani with the wisdom that is the sunnah. And whoever puts in charge of himself, gives authority to his hawa, desires over himself, yani his desires rule what he will say, what he will do, then he has nataqa bil bid'ah, yani he has articulated with innovation, that is, he has opposed the sunnah. This is mentioned in Hilyat al-Awliya by Abu Nu'aym in the 10th volume, 244 page. Then the Shaykh mentions some of the shubahat, some of the doubts that the people have, or the confusion, or the misunderstandings, yani how they have interpreted some things in a wrong way, to try to come up with, yani to reach some proof or some evidence that there's some bid'ah that is good. The Shaykh addresses this issue and some of the things that the people brought to try to claim that there's some bid'ah that is good. As far as the hadith that's reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, Hadith number 1017, من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة فله أجرها وأجر من عمل بها. That whoever initiates a sunnah in Islam, a good sunnah, then he will have the reward of it and the reward of whoever acts upon it. What is the meaning of this? Some people took this to mean, من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة, يعني that somebody brings a good, يعني sunnah. But that sunnah that they're talking about is a bid'ah. And they try to use this hadith that there's something yani called bid'ah hasana. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever initiates in Islam a good sunnah, then you have the reward of it and those who act upon it. This is understood to mean al-qudwa al-hasana fil khair, that a person is a good model, a good example in doing good for the people. They initiate that example and people follow them. This is the meaning of this hadith. And this meaning is crystal clear when you see the sabab of the hadith. What was the yani circumstances under which these words were spoken? It is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged the people to give sadaqah, and a man from the Ansar came with a big bag full of money as sadaqah, and then other people followed his example. And they came with sadaqah, and that's when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة فله أجرها وأجر من عمل بها. The meaning of that is based on this action. A man, the Prophet encouraged people to give sadaqah. A man came, he was the first one who came with a big bag of money as sadaqah, and then the people followed his example. And the Prophet ﷺ said here, that whoever sunna fil Islam sunnah al hasana, and this is the meaning of it. Yani that a person is a model, a qudwa hasana in doing khair, and other people follow them. Another possible interpretation of this, or another way that it could be understood, he said, yani it may be mahmool aydan ala man adhara sunnah Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ahyaha. Yani that a person makes known, demonstrates openly the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and revives it, brings it back to life, maybe after the people had lost it or forgotten it, and a person revives it. And this is as what happened with Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he joined the people, gathered the people together to perform the Salat al-Taraweeh in Ramadan, yani after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what he did was, he made known to the people the sunnah of the Prophet. He openly demonstrated the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. This was not yani something that he made up, as it was that the Prophet ﷺ had performed this salat, Qiyam in Ramadan, in some of the nights of Ramadan during his lifetime. And then he abandoned it out of fear that it would be made obligatory on the people. Out of fear that that night prayer would be made obligatory on the people, the Prophet ﷺ abandoned it. And this is clear from the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari 2012. And so when the Prophet ﷺ died, and the fear of that act becoming obligatory was no longer there, because the legislation was discontinued with the death of the Prophet ﷺ, so what remained was the istihbab, yani the goodness of doing this prayer in congregation. So Umar brought it forth, made it known to the people, demonstrated openly, called for some of the companions of the Prophet to gather the people and lead them in the prayer and congregation as it was done in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ by himself. He said that this action of Umar radiallahu anhu may also be understood to be from sunnati al-khulafa al-rashideen. That it may also be understood to be from the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas, because Umar was from them. And what came from Umar, his speech when he said, ni'm al-bid'ah, wa ni'm al-bid'ah hadhihi, as it came in Sahih al-Bukhari, hadith number 2010, he is referring to him openly demonstrating the sunnah of the Prophet in the Salat al-Taraweeh in congregation. That statement, yani ni'm al-bid'ah hadhihi, he's referring to the congregational prayer that he established after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what is intended by bid'ah in his statement is al-bid'ah al-lughawi, yani the linguistic meaning of bid'ah, not the meaning of bid'ah yani where a person invents something new that has no basis in the deen. Because clearly this practice yani was from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said similar to that, yani from the sunnah of the Khulafa ar-Rashidin, he said, Ziyadatul Uthman radiallahu anhu al-Adhan Yawm al-Jum'ah, yani the Uthman adding an Adhan on Yawm al-Jum'ah, yani he made it in during his Khilafah, that there should be Adhan in the marketplace before the time of Jum'ah, so the people in the marketplace will know that it's coming close to the time for Jum'ah, so the people wouldn't be late for Jum'ah. And there's a long story behind this particular incident. In any case, the point is that Uthman added an Adhan on Yawm al-Jum'ah in the marketplace, and قَدْ وَافَقَهُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّحَابَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ فهو من سنة الخلفاء الراشدين. يعني this, what this practice of Uthman, it was agreed upon by the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. They didn't oppose him in it. And then the Shaykh closes by saying that ما جاء عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أنه بدعة فهو محمول إن صح على البدعة اللغوية. يعني and what has been transmitted from Abdullah ibn Umar, if it is authentically narrated from him, if it is, it's questionable whether it is or not. He said this is also to be understood from in the meaning of al-bida al-lughawiyya, any linguistic meaning, and not that this was something that had no basis in the deen. Finally, the Shaykh closes with the points that maybe yani mimma istifadu min al-hadith, the things that may be benefit from this hadith, and he mentions 12 points. How much time for that then? 5 minutes? Inshallah, we'll try to do it. So the Shaykh mentions 12 points, and Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, in his explanation of 40 hadith, for this hadith, mentions 15 benefits. So we have 27 benefits. We're going to mention these first 12 and call it a day. Allahu musta'an. In any case, the brief explanation of 40 hadith of Shaykh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen is translated, and those 15 points are mentioned, yani are there, if anybody could find that translation, it's available. Because we won't have time to mention those 15 points tonight. In any case, the 12 points Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, Hafidhullah, mentions. Number one, استحباب الموعظة والتذكير في بعض الأحيان لما في ذلك من التأثير تأثير على القلوب. Yani that it is mustahab, it is commendable, it's beloved, it's encouraged that a person yani address the people with a reminder that includes encouragement and discouragement from doing evil sometimes because of the impact or the effect that it has on the hearts. Number two, حرص الصحابة رضي الله عنهم على الخير لطلبهم الوصية منه صلى الله عليه وسلم. And in this hadith is an indication of the eagerness of the companions of the Prophet رضي الله عنهم يعني for خير, for good, in that they asked him to advise them with a wasiyah at that particular time so that they could act upon it. Point number three, the most important of that which anyone can be advised with is the observance of taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that is that a person is obedient to him in complying with his commands and avoiding his prohibitions. Number four, from amongst the most important things that the people are advised with, from amongst them after the taqwa of Allah, is hearing and obeying those who have been given authority over the affairs of the Muslims. And this is due to the worldly benefits and the religious benefits that are contained in obedience to the ruler, yani the benefits that come to the Muslims when there is yani order in the society and not chaos. Number five, المبالغة في الحث على لزوم السمع والطاعة ولو كان أميرا أو كان أمير عبدا, yani overemphasizing the encouragement to adhere to yani hearing and obeying the leaders even if the one in charge was a slave. Yani that the Prophet overemphasized this point, al-mubalagha, yani exaggeration in it. Number six, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informing about the occurrence of a lot of differing and disputing in his ummah that would occur later on, and then it happening just the way he informed it, is from dalail nubuwatihi. It's from the proofs or the indications of his true prophethood. Number seven, inna tariq as-salama 'inda al-ikhtilaf fi ad-din لزوم سنته صلى الله عليه وسلم وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين, that the path or the road of safety and security at the time when there is differing in the deen, the way to avoid that, to protect oneself from that, is to adhere to the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas. Al-Imam Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid says in a point concerning this, that the reason why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered the people also to adhere to the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas, he said for two reasons. Al-Imam Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid rahimahullah said, the first reason is that there may be people who are not able to examine carefully the issues, then they should follow the rightly guided khalifas, taqleed. And the second reason, he said, so that when there was differing amongst the companions, that the preference should be given to the position of the rightly guided khalifas over the rest of them. Point number eight, the Shaykh says, clarification of the merit or the excellence of the rightly guided khalifas, that is Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum, and that they are Rashidun Mahdiyun, that they are Rashidun Mahdiyun. Yani, they are described with three characteristics, that they are khulafa, those who came after the Prophet, they succeeded him, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choosing them to be his successors. That's their first characteristic. Allah chose them to be his successors. The second is that they are rashidun, that they are guides who guide the people, and they are mahdiyun, they are those who are rightly guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Point number 9. تحذير من كل ما أحدث في الدين مما لم يكن له أصل فيه. يعني warning against everything that has been newly invented in the deen. وعليكم السلام. From those things that have no أصل, no foundation, no basis, no origin in the Sharia. Number 10. أن البدع كلها ضلال فلا يكون شيء منها حسنة. That بدع, innovation, all of it is misguidance. All of it is astray. And there's nothing from it that is good. There's nothing from it that is good. And number 11, الجمع بين الترغيب والترهيب لقوله في الترغيب فعليكم وفي الترهيب وإياكم. يعني that in this hadith we see the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has combined between الترغيب والترهيب, encouraging the people to do that which is good, يعني to be desirous of the reward of Allah, and discouraging people from that which is evil, so that they would have fear, يعني of the punishment of Allah. And that is in these two words, yani in this hadith, فَعَلَيْكُمْ, yani this is targhib. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي, I command you to observe my sunnah, encouraging the people to do that which is good. And then he said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ, that's tarhib. And he said, yani إِيَّاكُمْ, I warn you from yani the bid'ah. And the last point the Shaykh makes is بَيَّانْ أَحَمِّيَّةِ الْوَصِيَّةِ بِالتَّقْوَى اللَّهِ وَالسَّمُّطَاعِ لِوُلَاةِ الْأُمُورِ واتباع السنن وترك البدع لكون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أوسى أصحابه بها بعد قولهم عن موعظته كأنها موعظة مودع فأوصنا. يعني a clarification in this hadith of the great importance of this advice to observe taqwa of Allah, to hear and obey those who have authority over the Muslims, to follow the sunnah, all of the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, to avoid all innovations. And this importance is seen in the fact that this is what the Prophet ﷺ advised his companions with after they said to him, it is as though you are giving us a farewell reminder, so advise us. And this is what he advised them with. And this shows that these are from the most important things that our Prophet ﷺ has left for us to adhere to yani to be a guide for us. The most important of them, to observe taqwa of Allah. And then to obey the rulers, except in disobedience to Allah. And then to stick to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and the rightly guided khalifas. And then to avoid every type of innovation. Wallahu a'lam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.